Tangled Up in Blue, The Lost Bob Dylan Interviews. Written by Jeffrey Giuliano. Narrated by Jeffrey Giuliano.
He stands center stage, a scruffy, fragile figure with a mass of unkempt curls and ill-fitting clothes, looking like a woebegone hobo. But this unlikely superstar balladeer from America's heartland has influenced several generations like no artist before or since with his soaring lyrical poetry, unbridled honesty, and incomparable creative spirit. Robert Allen Zimmerman was born on May 24, 1941, in Duluth, Minnesota, into a hard-working family of second-generation Russian-Jewish immigrants. He decided to make his entrance into the world feet first, all but declaring the rebel defiance that would be the trademark of both his remarkable life and art. His father Abe worked for Standard Oil until he and wife Betty pulled up roots 6 years later and moved to the remote, undistinguished mining town of Hibbing on the Mesabi Iron Range near the Canadian border. There Abe ran a hardware store while Betty worked in a clothing store owned by her mother's family. Together with Bob's younger brother David, the Zimmermans began to live out their piece of the American middle-class dream. Young Bobby was gifted and bright, but with a restless spirit. He was easily bored with the endless toys, sporting equipment, and summer vacation camps his parents indulged him with. It didn't take long before this pampered son of a prospering businessman became aware that he was very much an outsider amongst the blue-collar, largely uneducated iron rangers who worked the local mines. Alienated from his peers, Bob would spend hours by himself honing his introspective nature. He would sketch and paint, write poetry, and wander down the railroad tracks, yearning to hop a boxcar and make a romantic getaway from the cultural isolation of his bleak surroundings. "You can stand at one end of Hibbing and see clear past the city limits to the other," he once observed. The radio became his constant companion, and the plaintive voice of country western legend Hank Williams, crooning out haunting themes of mortality and despair, formed his first important musical influence. As a boy, Dylan was unsure in which direction life would take him. The day he discovered music, however, the world around him forever changed.
I can't really say, you know, what led me to. I can only say that I look to do a lot of things, you know. I'm one of these people that thinks that everybody has certain gifts, you know, when they're born. And get enough trouble trying to find out just what it is. I figured first it was... used to play the guitar when I was 10, you know. So I figured, well, maybe my thing is playing the guitar. Maybe that's my little gift. You know, like somebody can make a cake, you know, or somebody else can saw a tree down. And I'm saying that this is exactly what my gift is. Maybe I got a better gift.
Reaching his teens, the adolescent Zimmerman, now a dynamo of raw energy and imagination, found more powerful channels of escape in music and the movies. For hours, he would wail away on the piano and create songs from stories which sprang into his head. At the local state theater owned by his uncles, the spellbound dreamer indulged his fantasies in cool matinee heroes Montgomery Clift and Humphrey Bogart. It was the watershed year 1955 when the 14-year-old's world was riveted by the primordial image of James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, the classic coming-of-age film. As for so many young Turks of his generation, for Bob it was an epiphany, and Dean's Jim Stark in Rebel Without a Cause was the first of many personas he would adopt. Zimmerman abandoned his khaki chinos and neat polo shirts for a black leather jacket, tight blue jeans and boots, and entered Hibbing High with a greaser attitude that shocked the conservative student body. The cornerstone of this transformation was the stirring new music seeping up from the Deep South, led by the gospel rock wailings of Little Richard. Suddenly, Robert Zimmerman had found his direction in rock and roll. Bob soon got his hands on every rock record he could find and was itching to start his own band. After tracking down a drummer and guitarist among his classmates, Bob formed a trio called the Golden Chords, and their first gig was the Hibbing High Jacket Jamboree. Performing in the school auditorium before the entire student body, the diminutive pianist played with such abandon and deafening intensity, he managed to break the sustain pedal on the school's prize Steinway. Outraged, school authorities outlawed the group.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?